Perek Lamed Dalet. We're going to start Pasuk Yud Gimel. What?
Page 182.
182. Huh? Old Testament. 182. Yep.
You never know what you learned tonight.
Story up to now. Story up to now is Shechem did what he did to Dina. Shechem wanted to marry Dina. He waits for he goes to speak to Yaakov, and he says, you know, my son wants, Shechem's father, Chamer, goes and he says, you know, my son Shechem wants to marry your daughter. Whatever you want, we'll open the land for you. You can give us your daughters, you can take our, whatever you want. You know, you can do business with us. Just let this kid marry your sister. Let Shechem marry Dina. So in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk says, "Vayanu b'nei Yaakov v'Shechem v'Shchamer ovi b'mimah." The Yaakov's sons answered Shechem and Chamer, his father, b'mirma. Rashi says it means cleverly. Normally, mirma is with trickery, but here Rashi doesn't learn it means trickery, like other mefarshim learn, but Rashi learns rather its concept of with wisdom. Okay, and therefore, as the mefarshim say, they never intended to allow Dina to marry Shechem. It was never in their plan that that should happen. But they answered them cleverly. What did they say? And they spoke. Why? So the pasuk says, it's like in parentheses, Asher tima es Dina achesam. Because they impurified Dina, their daughter, and therefore that they weren't deceitful, because whatever they said is what the people from Shechem deserved because they impurified Dina. And basically the brother's intent was to kill out the whole city, like we discussed, and we're going to learn more in the details. The brothers wanted to kill out the whole city. So therefore, what did they do? They answered Shechem and Chamer with the plan that they would allow that get... eventually be able to destroy the whole city. So they did it with wisdom, they did it being very clever and so on. And they said to them the following, the brother said, we're not able to do this, to give our sister to a person who is uncircumcised. It's a disgrace amongst us. So the brothers basically said, we cannot let our sister marry a man who's not circumcised. You want to marry our sister before we can even negotiate, before we can even talk, you have to become circumcised. That's the first thing the brother said to him. And as the brother said, before we even talk, there's nothing to talk about as long as you're not circumcised. Now, there's a whole... discussion over here. Did the brothers do right by what they did? In other words, like we learned last week a little bit, we're going to get into the more details. What did the brothers want to do? They wanted the whole city to get circumcised. They're going to be weak. They're not going to feel well. And then the brothers are going to go out and kill out the whole city. The question is that good? Is that bad? Because the fact is, Yaakov Avinu later screamed at them. Yaakov later cursed Shimon and Levi's anger, and he was very upset with what they did. So the question is, and this is what the commentators discuss, were they right or weren't they right? The Rambam learns that the brothers were right for killing out the whole city. We mentioned last time what the Rambam says, but we're in the middle of the discussion. The Rambam, we mentioned last week, says that one of the seven Noahite laws is to set up a court system. It's one of the seven Noahite laws. The Rambam also writes that if you don't keep any one of the seven Noahite laws, you get capital punishment. If a non-Jew doesn't keep any one of the seven Noahite laws, they would get killed. Because Shechem raped Dina, which was forbidden, the people from the city had an obligation to put Shechem onto trial. Because one of the seven Noahite laws is to set up a court system. The people from Shechem did not set up a court system. Okay, they let Shechem go. So therefore, the brothers felt that they were obligated to get killed, and therefore they killed out the whole city legally. That's the way the Rambam learns. The Ramban asks, if that's the case, why did Yaakov get angry at Shimon and Levi? If, according to Halacha, the people from Shechem are all obligated to get killed for not setting up a court system to judge Shechem, so why would Yaakov angry at the boys? So the Ramban learns it differently. The Ramban learns, basically, the people from Shechem were supposed to get killed not because they didn't judge Shechem. They were not obligated to judge Shechem. Why were they killed? Generally speaking, they believed in idols, they did other avedas. So the brothers said, we still have a right to kill them, because they worship idols and they do all the other, you know, things that a non-Jew is not allowed to do. Yaakov got angry at them because Yaakov said, who makes you a boss over here? You know, you can't just go around killing people because they do something wrong. So Shimon and Levi said, listen, they did something nasty to our sister. For that itself, we can't kill them. We can't kill out the whole city. But the whole city is no good anyway, so we're going to kill them. So Yaakov said, what are you killing the city for? So what's your business? So according to the Ramban, he just explains why Yaakov got angry at Shimon and Levi for doing what they did. Huh? What? Yaakov Avinu was angry at them for doing it. Later on in Chumash, when Yaakov Avinu screamed at them, why did you do it? You embarrassed me and you made me problems and they're going to chase me and they're going to, you know. So the brothers answered back to Yaakov, what are we going to make our sister free for all? Okay? Achzeinu yasis achiseinu. And Yaakov didn't answer them. So there was an argument between Yaakov and his sons whether they did right. But we're going to learn soon when we get into the details that the brothers really were not wrong. And we're going to learn something in a few psukim. Okay, so the first thing the brothers said is, we cannot give you this girl because you're not circumcised. He says, Ach bezeis ne'es lachem, we will deal with you, you know, we are kvizes with you, imti achameinu, if you will become like us, ne'imer lachem kol zachet, that every male should be circumcised. Shechem now and Chamor are coming to the unofficial realization that the reason why the brothers don't want Dina to marry Shechem is only because he's not circumcised. So right away they said, okay, you know what, we're going to go ahead and circumcise. If the brothers are saying, if you do a bris, then we're all the same. Because he says, if you become like us, which now they're giving the impression the only thing that separates them and them is circumcision. They didn't even talk about believing in God. They didn't talk about anything else. They gave the implication, the only thing that separates us and you is circumcision. If you do circumcision, we're equal. So this is what we'll soon see.
That's like a white lie, right?
No. Explain one more detail. Why did they pick bris? So there's two reasons. One is, that's the only way you're going to get them all week. Okay, surgery, right? But there's another reason the Mefarshim say. The bris is done on the organ that Shechem sinned with Dina. So to rectify, so to speak, that sin, so they wanted that he should circumcise himself to rectify the Aveda. Why is it a white lie? They said,
not saying the reason we want you to circumcise so that you become weak and that's the organ. They're saying, we want you to become like us. If you're not telling the truth, you lie.
No. You're not allowed to lie, but you don't always have to tell the truth either.
It's called a white lie.
No, it's not. Not. Depends how you define a white lie, but halachically, it's not a white lie. You're allowed to change something for the because of truth. Okay? In Shonar discusses the for the past and for the future, but that's not relevant over here. The brothers are not, all the brothers are saying over here, listen, the brothers are saying something very simple. until you circumcise yourself, there's nothing what to talk about. That's all. Does that mean that after they do a bris, they're going to make allow them to get married? They're not saying that. What?
They go to war and they're going to kill the whole town. He's worried about them lying to them.
She did. She had a baby. They're not. 1 minute. They're not lying. All they're saying is until you circumcise yourself, there's nothing to talk about. That's all they're saying. Now, in the next pasuk, they're continuing. This is where the white lie is. V'nesanos b'neiseichem lachem, will give you our daughters. V'es b'neiseichem, and your daughters, nikach lanu, we will take for ourselves. V'yashavnu itchem, we will dwell together with you. V'ayinu la'am echad, and we will become one nation. Okay? Now, this is what the Ramban learns is what Yaakov was upset about. Yaakov was upset. What are you hacking here at Chinik with this? What are you telling them? We're going to be, if you circumcise yourself, we're going to become one nation. That's what, according to the Ramban, that actually would bother Yaakov. You make up with them, circumcise yourself, okay. But then you add it. If you do that, then we will intermarry. Plus, we will, you know. So that's what Yaakov Avinu was upset about. But there comes a time we're going to learn soon that a Jew has to take such a stand. And we'll soon see.
Take
such a stand. V'imlei sishmo eleinu lihimel. And then the brothers continued. And they said that if you don't listen to us to circumcise yourself, then goodbye. V'lokachta esbitenu, we're going to take our daughter. V'alachnu, we're going to leave. In other words, either you listen to us or else forget, the business is over. Well, that's what they said. If you don't listen to us,
we'll go.
Yeah, we're going
to
go. Why? What would be if the Shechem people said, no, forget it, we're not circumcising ourselves? What would the brothers do? They would take Dina and leave. They wouldn't fight the whole city. No. And their words were good in the eyes of Chamer, and the eyes of Shechem. By the way, one thing the Mefarshim Divin Ezra asks, what do you mean, our daughter? The brothers are speaking, not Yaakov. Why are they calling her our daughter? So there's two reasons. Some Mefarshim learn because they were speaking as Yaakov's shluchim. They were speaking as Yaakov's agents. They just spoke instead of Yaakov. So they're speaking like Yaakov would speak, my daughter. That when Ezra learns, because she was still a little girl, like we learned she was 8 or 9, so they called her our daughter because she's like a little kid. They didn't call her sister, they called her daughter. Other Mefarshim also add, why did they say daughter? They wanted to tell Shechem, listen, if you don't listen to us, just like a father would give up his life for his daughter, we're going to be ready to fight for our sister. Just as if she would be a daughter. Most people would fight for a daughter more than they would fight for a sister. So the brother, that's true, huh? Yeah, I know. By the sisters, you fight with them, not for them. For daughters, you fight for. For sisters, you fight with. So the brothers are saying to them, by hinting, the Mefarshim explained, that it's like a daughter, we're ready to fight. I mean, this is not a sister, this is like a daughter. So the Gemara says, V'yitzvu divrem v'ynei chamer, I'm sorry, the Pasuk says, U'v'ynei Shechem ben chamer, the Mefarshim say that the father was as foolish as the son for accepting this condition. They should have understood what the brothers were really into. Okay, so now the pasuk says, "Le'echer anar lasis adaver." Sentence you test. The lad did not delay it at all. Kichavitz bevas Yaakov, because he wanted to marry Yaakov's daughter. Unichbad, and he was the most respected Mikol Beisavir from his entire father's house. In other words, what is the Pasuk saying? Shechem right away ran and did the bris on himself first. Why? He wanted to set an example for everybody else. So the Pasuk saying, and it's interesting, Shechem and Chamor didn't even speak to the people yet. In a few psukim we're going to see, they went to the people of Shechem and they tried to persuade them to do the bris. Shechem himself didn't even wait for that. As soon as he left the house, he ran and he did a bris.
He did it for himself?
No, whoever. Somebody did it. Doesn't say who he did it, but... And the Sipurna writes that what's the Pasuk telling us? That even though he was the most respected of the whole city, he still wanted to marry Bas Yaakov. To show the greatness of Yaakov's family, that even though he was the most respected, the king of the city, he still wanted to do it.
Maybe okay. Only want the money.
Rabbi.
No, that's not what it says.
I just want to interject a moment here, because whoever did the circumcision of Shechem, it doesn't matter about now. He's an adult when he had the bris, right?
Yeah.
Shechem is an adult.
Yeah.
During the war, very quickly, one of my Marine buddies, who was 23, he got circumcised on Guam. We had to throw him in the water, Pacific. He was in such pain. He said, let me die. And we threw him into the Pacific Ocean. We had to fish him out. He was in such pain from the bris.
Should have given him painkillers instead.
We didn't have any no days.
Okay.
I don't know. He wanted to be circumcised. And so we got together.
Okay.
And a doctor.
I hope you didn't do it.
No. A naval doctor did that. I am not a male.
Vayave.
I don't know if he was Jewish or not.
Okay.
Vayave Chamer Shechem B'nai. Okay. Vayave Chamer Shechem B'nai. So Chamer and Shechem and his son. And the Mepharshim say, obviously, it was a few days later because Shechem had to heal himself from the bris to be able to go out and talk to the people. So it says that they came, even though, meaning, and the Mepharshim ask an interesting question. Why does it say Vayavai singular? If Chamer and Shechem went, it's two people. So in Hebrew, it should have said Vayavai U, plural. But the answer is, they went like one person. That means Chamer and Shechem went united to get this mission accomplished. So it's like one person went. Like Shechem went, his father went. He went to Shad Iram, to the gates of the city. Why did he go to the gates of the city? So the Radak says, we find many places in Tanakh, by Rus, by various places, that the prominent people of the city used to sit in the gates. That's where like the judges were. Light was sitting in the gate of the city. Boaz was sitting, you know, all the people were sitting in the gates of the city. So that's why the Pasuk said they went to this gate of the city to speak to all the people. Vayidabron, they spoke, El Shad Iram, El Anshi Iram, to the people from the city, Lamer saying. Now, there's a lot of differences Rashi is going to point out between the way Shechem spoke to the boys, to Yaakov's children, and the way Shechem is speaking to his people. By Shechem speaking to Yaakov's children, he says to them, you will take our daughters, you will decide what to do. You know, he made that Yaakov's children are honorable. When he speaks to the city people of Shechem, he said, we'll take their kids, we'll call the shots. Because he didn't want to tell his people, Shechem, hey, they're going to call the shots. So he was a politician. To Yaakov's children, he had to impress them. So he says to them, you guys will call the shots. To his own people, he said, we're going to call the shots. We're going to be in control. And therefore, he says the following. Ha'anashim o'ela, these men, shleimim heim itanu. Simply means they're peaceable, they're at peace with us. They want peace. Shalim also means complete heart. They have no intention. This is what the Mepharshim explained. Radak says, what do you mean, shleimim heim itanu? Shechem says to them, you know, we spoke to them. They don't even take revenge against the city. He tried to paint the picture in a very good light as if to say, these guys want to be friendly with us, you don't have to be afraid of them, this is not a plan to kill us. He said, these are foolish people. They said, they're good with us, they don't want to take revenge, they want to be friendly with us. The Yeshu Ba'aretz, they want to live in the land. The Yisachar Oesa, they want to do business in the land. Ba'aretz, and behold the land, Ne'erachmas Yadayim Lefneim, there's a lot of room in the land for them. You know, he said, we're not going to have overcrowding. You know, sometimes they would be afraid to be overcrowding. They said, no, there's plenty of room for them, they're going to do business. As B'naisam, listen to this, as B'naisam, their daughters, Nikach Lonu, we will take. And as we're going to decide who we're going to take. V'ez B'naisenu, and our daughters, Nitan Lahem, we will give to them. This is basically what he's saying, that, you know, we can call the shots. This is the pasuk, by the way, that we said last time, that the Er Chaim explains, the Shechem was the neshama of Rav Chanina ben Tradyan. The word Rachavas here stands for Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan. That's why it says in Kabbalah that why did God allow the Shechem Reb Dina? Because it was a neshama that got lost amongst the goyim, had to come back and create a child, Asnas, and so on. But this is the word, Rachavas is Rav Chanina ben Tradyan. So they give off, and they're very political. I mean, you know, politics started in those days yet. They first gave him a pep talk. They said, listen, these are nice people. We're going to be able to do business with them. There's a lot of room for them. Everything's going to be great. But there's a small minor detail. You have to do a bris. So first he builds up a nice picture, you know, how good it's going to be. He says, Ach b'zeis, here's the fine print, you know. The fine print. But only on this condition will they associate with us. To live with us. To become one nation. How? That we should circumcise all male. Just like they are circumcised. Just like they're circumcised, we have to be circumcised. So he says, and as Radak explains, what do we lose by it? We can only get wealthy from it. That's a big deal. You know, and that's where he continues the next pasuk. Mikneihem, their cat, their livestock, the kinyanim, their possessions, the chol behemtim, and all their animals, halelano heim, they're going to be ours. You know, in other words, what did he say? This is also shows how evil they were. He says, you know what? Listen, let's come do business with them. They're very wealthy. You know what happens after a while? We'll take away all their money from them. You know, everything, like he says, Halelanohim will become us, become ours. Let's let them here, let's get them involved, you know, and then we'll take a partner in the business, take all his money, then you throw him out. That's what he's saying over here to them. Everything, their cattle, their livestock, their animals, it's all ours. And that's why the Medrash says that you see from here that the bris that Shechem in the city of Shechem did was not for God. They did it because they wanted to get rich. Right? So therefore, as we see, not only didn't they get rich, but they all died from it. Because their intent of their conversion, so to speak, was not a real intent. It was for money. And if somebody converts for money, or for marriage, or for anything else, it's invalid. Circumcised. Just like they're circumcised, we have to be circumcised. So he says, and as Radak explains, what do we lose by it? We can only get wealthy from it. That's a big deal, you know, and that's where he continues the next pasuk. Mikneihem, their cat, their livestock, the kinyanim, their possessions, the chol behemtim, and all their animals, Halelano heim, they're going to be ours. You know, in other words, what did he say? This is also shows how evil they were. He says, you know what? Listen, let's come do business with them. They're very wealthy. You know what happens after a while? We'll take away all their money from them. You know, everything, like he says, Halelano heim will become us, become ours. Let's let them here, let's get them involved, you know, and then we'll think you take a partner in the business, take all his money, then you throw him out. That's what he's saying over here to them. Everything, their cattle, their livestock, their animals, it's all ours. And that's why the Medrash says that you see from here that the bris that Shechem in the city of Shechem did was not for God. They did it because they wanted to get rich. Right? So therefore, as we see, not only didn't they get rich, but they all died from it. Because their intent of their conversion, so to speak, was not a real intent. It was for money. And if somebody converts for money, or for marriage, or for anything else, it's invalid. It's not valid. That's why, like we learned, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, when Jews were very, very wealthy, the official policy was they did not accept any converts. Why? Because people were converting for the wrong purposes. And here by Shechem, we see it clearly in their speech. What did they say? Listen, we're going to do business with them. We can intermarry with them. They're very wealthy. All the cattle is going to end up in us. Do me a favor. Just circumcise yourself. And it's like they're circumcised. We have to be circumcised. So he says, and as Radak explains, what do we lose by it? We can only get wealthy from it. Now, it's a big deal. You know, and that's where he continues the next pasuk. Miknayam, their cat, their livestock, the kinyanim, their possessions, the chol behemtim, and all their animals, halelano heim, they're going to be ours. You know, in other words, what did he say? This also shows how evil they were. He says, you know what? Listen, let's come do business with them. They're very wealthy. You know what happens after a while? We'll take away all their money from them. You know, everything, like he says, halelano heim, will become us. Become ours. Let's let them here. Let's get them involved, you know, and then we'll take a partner in the business, take all his money, then you throw him out. That's what he's saying over here to them. Everything, their cattle, their livestock, their animals, it's all ours. And that's why the Medrash says that you see from here that the bris that Shechem in the city of Shechem did was not for God. They did it because they wanted to get rich. Right? So therefore, as we see, not only didn't they get rich, but they all died from it. Because their intent of their conversion, so to speak, was not a real intent. It was for money. And if somebody converts for money, or for marriage, or for anything else, it's invalid. It's not valid. That's why, like we learned, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, when Jews were very, very wealthy, the official policy was they did not accept any converts. Why? Because people were converting for the wrong purposes. And here by Shechem, we see it clearly in their speech. What did they say? Listen, we're going to do business with them. We can intermarry with them. They're very wealthy. All the cattle is going to end up in us. Do me a favor. Just circumcise yourself and everything's done. As Unklus says, they consented. Here's an interesting pasuk. It says, all the people that go out of the gate. What does it mean, all the people that go out of the gate? Shem said, all the people in the city circumcise themselves. So Mefarshim explain, those people that didn't want to circumcise and went home, they made them circumcise the bris anyway, and that's not, they didn't let them out of the city. They didn't let him out of the city otherwise. That's why it says, Kol Yetzi Shad Ida, any person that wanted even to leave the city to go out, they also made him circumcise. They didn't let anybody off the hook. Vayimelu Kol Zachar, and therefore they circumcised everyone. In fact, the Medrash says, any person that passed through the gates of Shechem, the people from Shechem said, he quotes the Medrash, every person that passed through the gates of Shechem was asked to be circumcised. Why? One of the peasants. So that Shechem may marry Yaakov's daughter, they answered. Shechem is getting married and the peasant has to get circumcised. They asked back. He wants to get married, I gotta suffer. You know, like it says, it's the proverb, when one person suffers for another's decision, he basically says, And the people were very angry with this. And they regretted, we're soon going to see, they regretted the fact that he even circumcised themselves. Which was another reason why the circumcision was not done at all correctly. It wasn't kosher. Because they did it for the wrong reasons. But every person that inside, the outside, whoever was allowed to live the city, had to circumcise themselves. You came into the city, you had to circumcise yourself. Everybody in the city had to circumcise themselves. Okay, now is a very important pasuk. Vayi b'yom ha'shlishi, it was on the third day of the bris, Vayikhu shnei b'nei Yaakov, the two sons of Yaakov took Shimon v'Levi, Shimon and Levi, Achei Dina, the brothers of Dina. I'm sorry. V'yivayim ha'shlishi wasn't the third day, v'yayisim k'evim, when everybody was in pain from the bris. So Vayikhu shnei b'nei Yaakov, the two sons of Yaakov took Shimon v'Levi, Achei Dina, the brothers of Dina, Ishcharbei, each man took a sword, and they came upon the city confident. And there's different ways of learning. Either they were confident in the power of Yaakov Avinu, they knew that nothing's going to happen because of Yaakov Avinu. Or another interpretation is they were certain because they knew the people were sick, so they couldn't fight back. They killed out all the male, everybody from the city. Every man in the city they killed. Now, there's a bunch of questions in this pasuk. First, so what does it mean, Shnei b'nei Yaakov, Shimon v'Levi? Don't we know the Shimon and Levi? Don't we know the children of Yaakov? Everybody knows Shimon and Levi is Yaakov's children. Why does the pasuk say the children of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, and then it went even more, the brothers of Dina? So Rashi says, this is a negative connotation, that even though they were b'nei Yaakov, even though they were Yaakov's children, they didn't act like Yaakov's children. They acted like Shimon and Levi. Why is it called Achei Dina? Like the Medrash says, weren't the other brothers also Dina's brothers? But the answer is, they risked their lives for Dina. Okay? Shimon and Levi were the same ones that said, let's kill Yosef when he came to the pit. And that's why Bechlal, Yaakov Avinu, cursed their personality. Later on, in Yaakov's deathbed, he says, "Order apam ki oz," he cursed their personality. Shimon and Levi's personality, well, I don't want to use the word, God forbid, troublemakers, but they're very gvuradik, very strong personalities. Yosef comes to meet the brothers, you know, when Yaakov sent him what's doing, they were the ones that said, Vayemir Ishalach once said to his brother, let's kill him. Who was it? Shimon said it to Levi. Here, from all the brothers, Yehuda was the strongest. Yet who went? Shimon and Levi. The other brothers understood, Yaakov doesn't want it, they're not going to do it. If they're not going to, he doesn't want it, they're not going to do it. Shimon and Levi didn't care too much. They felt it was right, they did it. Okay? And that's why they're called B'nai Yaakov, that even though they were the children of Yaakov, but they didn't act like Yaakov's children, they acted like Shimon and Levi, as their own individuals. Plus, a Chei Dina, that they risked their lives for Dina. Yerashi says that he did marry her.
Oh.
Shimon married Dina.
Really?
He married his sister. We'll see later how they were allowed to do it. Now, the brothers, the Ramban learns, Radak learns, that really all the brothers consented to this scheme, but only Shimon and Levi carried it out. The Ramban learns, no, that the brothers never intended to kill out the city. What the brothers intended to do was, thank you, what the brothers intended to do was weaken the city and then take Dina and leave. Shimon and Levi acted alone to kill the city. The brothers were never interested in killing the city, even though all the brothers came up with this idea of the bris. It doesn't say Shimon and Levi said do a bris. Everybody said do a bris, right? All the brothers consented that they should do the bris, but nobody wanted to kill them. All they wanted was weaken them that they could take Dina without fighting the city. Shimon and Levi were the ones that did it. It could have backfired. They could have gotten killed.
I'm saying if they wouldn't have just done the bris and walked away, later on, once they get better, they can come back after.
That's what Yaakov Avinu was afraid of. Yaakov Avinu is afraid that the neighboring cities are going to come and fight. And the Pasuk will say later that God did a miracle that nobody could chase them. We'll get there in a second. You're right.
Why are you laughing?
It's true.
Laughing.
It's true.
No, only the truth is funny.
I'm smiling at how brilliant you are.
Thank you.
Now, the Gemara learns out from this Pasuk. The Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that the third day of the Bris is the most dangerous day. And that's why they waited for the third day. Why didn't they do it right away on the first day? And the Gemara learns that the third day is the most dangerous. And therefore, years ago, not nowadays, you were allowed to desecrate Shabbos on the third day of the child's bris if they needed to be washed or whatever. Today it's not done because it's a whole completely different thing. There's a phenomenal sikha from the Rebbe over here. In Pirkei Avos it says, in the end of the fifth perek, it says, all the ages. You know, when you're 5 years old, you learn Chumash. 10 years old, Mishnah. 13 years old is Bar Mitzvah. 13-year-old is Bar Mitzvah. So the Mefarshim of the Mishnah ask, where do we learn out that a boy is Bar Mitzvah at 13? So there's two answers. One answer is very simple. Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. This is what God told Moshe at Har Sinai. That 13 is the age of Bar Mitzvah. And other mefarshim, other rishonim, learn it out from this pasuk that we just learned. Because if you calculate it, Levi at this time was 13 years old. They make a cheshbon, but Levi was 13. And the Torah calls him, Vayichu shnebe, shimen v'leachei dina ish charbe. Each man took a sword. Now if Levi was 13 and the Torah calls him a man, you see that a man, adult, is at the age of 13. But the fact that the Torah says Levi was 13, that means even Levi, who's 13, is called Ish. So if Levi's 13, he's called Ish. You see that even about a 13-year-old boy is called a man. There's a very big halachic difference between these two reasons, by the way. The very big halachic difference. One way we learn it out from is because Hashem told Moshe at Har Sinai that a boy becomes bar mitzvah 13. By the way, just parenthetically, why do girls become bar mitzvah 12? Because the Gemara says girls mature earlier. Bina yaseida nitna beisha yesim beish. There's more bina, more understanding, more maturity by a woman more than a man. So if a man becomes bar mitzvah 13, a girl becomes bar mitzvah 12. That's what. In other words, these people that want to equalize men and women, and they want to, you know, the women's libbers that say it's not fair to women are second class, and then they make a bas mitzvah at 13, they're very foolish. Because the whole reason why a bas mitzvah becomes at 12 because she's smarter, so you want to make themselves stupider. Basically saying, a girl is equal to a boy that he has to wait for 13. I mean, it's very foolish, puts it from their perspective, but that's a side thing.
I never accepted that.
I know. So now, what's the difference? What's the difference if the reason of Bar Mitzvah is because Hashem said it Har Sinai, or because the Torah calls Levi Ish? What's the difference? So the halachic difference is very interesting. At what age does a goy become Bar Mitzvah? A guy. For instance, a guy has to keep his seven mitzvahs. At what age? Huh? I didn't say, I asked a question. I'm explaining something. Can I finish? At what age does a guy become obligated in their seven Noahic laws? It's a very simple question, no? So the, one second. So the answer is, it depends on these two reasons. If the reason of Bar Mitzvah 13 is because Hashem said it at Har Sinai, Hashem at Har Sinai only spoke to Jews. All Shiurim of Har Sinai were said to Jews. Therefore, the age of 13, according to that reason, only applies to Jews. What age is a guy, Bar Mitzvah, so to speak, obligated in their mitzvahs? According to that reason, the Halacha says, when the guy is mature enough to understand right and wrong, for instance, when he's old enough to understand you're not allowed to steal, let's say if he's seven, let's say, and he understands by that time you're not allowed to steal, at that time if he steals, he gets killed. Whatever, as long as he understands what right and wrong is, he gets killed. But if you learn it out, because the Torah calls Levi a man at 13, so that's a natural biological thing. So if the Torah says the reason is that you learn out Bar Mitzvah from the fact that the Torah says Levi, who happened to be 13, is an adult, it's not Har Sinai or anything. The Torah just calls the maturity of a 13-year-old a man. So according to that opinion, according to that reason, a goy is also Bar Mitzvah 13. No. Not the obligation of mitzvahs. It so happens Yishmael was 13 when God said circumcise, so he was 13, so that's when he did it. But it wasn't because he was obligated to mitzvahs. When God said to Avram, circumcise yourself and your kids and family and everything, Yishmael happened to be 13. So at 13 he did a bris. If he would have been 15, it would have been 15. It wasn't the age that made him obligated to mitzvahs. Here the Tatus calls Levi an adult, not a halachic spiritual thing, Har Sinai. It's a biological thing at the age of 13, so therefore a guy would be Bar Mitzvah 13. This time an interesting halachic difference. But the Rebbe asks a different question in the Sicha. How is it possible that we learn out such an important rule that you're Bar Mitzvah at 13 from something that they did was so terrible? The Torah wants to teach us an age of Bar Mitzvah. The Torah couldn't have picked a better place to learn it from. It's the same thing, that we find a similar thing. Where do you learn out 10 Jews is a minion? You know where you learn out from the spies? When the Meraglim came back with the negative reports, so God, Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't listen to this Ada. Don't listen to this minion. So where do you learn out? Yeshua and Kali were the good spies. So there are 10 bad spies. And the Torah calls them a community, an Eda. So we learn out a minion of 10 Jews is from the Meraglim. And over there, there's also a Sicha from the Rebbe. The Rebbe asks, there's no better place to learn out a minion from than from the Meraglim. And the Rebbe answers that over there. But here, the Rebbe asks the same question. How in the world do we learn out the concept of Bar Mitzvah, which is vital to Yiddishkeit, from somebody that Yaakov Avinu was very angry with? So the Rebbe explains a beautiful lesson. When a kid becomes Bar Mitzvah, it comes a time that the Torah says to the Bar Mitzvah kid, you might have to take a sword and go fight for Yiddishkeit. That's what the Torah is telling a Bar Mitzvah kid. You're becoming Bar Mitzvah, you're becoming mature, the world out there is fighting Yiddishkeit. You know, the world out there is not very compassionate to doing mitzvahs. So the Torah is telling the Bar Mitzvah kid, you know where you learn out you become Bar Mitzvah from? From two Jewish kids that took a sword to fight evil that started up with Judaism. So the Torah is telling us an important Bar Mitzvah lesson, so to speak. There comes a time, even if you're 13, you could think, oh, I'm only a kid. The Torah, it doesn't mean a physical sword, obviously. It comes a time, huh? That's the Rebbe's answer. It comes a time that you have to go fight for Yiddishkeit. What? Yaakov Avinu was very angry that they did it. That's what I'm saying. It's a negative thing, no?
Yeah, well, but he's saying we learn that this is where the child of 13 becomes a man.
Has to realize it comes, you have to fight for Yiddishkeit.
But here, they're not fighting against
people. Yes, they are. Shechem was evil. But city of Shechem symbolizes...
To do the
you want to speak in spiritual terms? Let's speak in spiritual... We'll speak in spiritual terms. Taking everything in Torah is not only physical, it's spiritual, right? Dina symbolizes a Jewish child. Okay? A Jewish child is being kidnapped spiritually, obviously. Being kidnapped spiritually by an evil force known as Shechem. Okay? They wanted to impurify this Jewish child. They wanted to turn him away from Yiddishkeit. They wanted her to marry Shechem. Okay? From a spiritual perspective, not only the physical story that happened. So basically what this is symbolic of is a Jewish kid being assimilated into the world, that the world is trying to assimilate the kid. What is the role of a Jew? To sit back and ignore it? God forbid. If there's a kid that's being captured by non-Jewish evil forces, so to speak, you have to be willing to take a sword and fight. That is the bar mitzvah of a Jew. That is the maturity of a Jew. It was mentioned, Shabbos at Shalosh Shudas, the speaker mentioned this story, it's a famous story, that the Alter Rebbe lived upstairs and his son, the Mittel Rebbe, lived downstairs. And the Mittler Rebbe was davening or learning, and the Alter Rebbe was davening or learning. They were both involved in their spiritualities. The Mittler Rebbe's child fell out of his crib and started crying. The Mittler Rebbe was so involved in his davening or learning that he didn't hear the baby. The Alter Rebbe was also a very great tzaddik and was upstairs on the second floor and heard the baby cry. So he stopped his learning or his davening and he came down. And he picked up the baby, and he cuddled the baby, and he pacified the baby, and he put the baby back into the crib. After his son finished davening, the Alter Rebbe admonished his son, and he basically said that when a Jewish child is crying, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You have to hear the child cry, and you have to pick him up and stop the crying. Okay? The Rebbe takes the story deeper, and the Rebbe says, it doesn't only mean physical crying. When there's a Jew out there that's lost, and he's crying, the neshama is crying for Yiddishkeit, and your excuse is, I'm davening and I'm learning and I have no time to go pick up that Jew that's lost, that's crying for Yiddishkeit, that's no good. Okay? Shimon and Levi, in the positive aspect of the Torah lesson, which is a lesson in life. If the Torah would only be negative and there's no lesson for us to learn from it, the Torah wouldn't have put the story in. So even though Yaakov Avinu was upset with it, Yaakov Avinu had to be upset with it and they had to do what they had to do. It's not a contradiction, by the way. You have in life, you have to do what you have to do, somebody else will be upset, that's fine. But you got to do what you got to do. You have to do what you have to do. And if you don't do what you have to do, it's no good. And the story of Shimon and Levi is teaching a Jew that you're becoming bar mitzvah. You're just a kid. The first thing you have to know as a Jew at bar mitzvah is there comes a time that if there's a Jewish kid kidnapped or the person himself is being kidnapped by the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, or the evil force, whatever it is, you got to take a sword and you got to be willing to fight. And also, as the Pasuk says, it says, Vayavoyu ala'ir betach, they were certain. They were, as it says, confident. And Rashi says two things. What do you mean confident? Either because the people were sick, okay, or betuchim hayu al keches shel zaken. Rashi says there are certain with the power of Yaakov. Okay, the question is either doing against Yaakov's will. Stop to think for a minute. Rashi says they were confident because of the merit of Yaakov. Either going against Yaakov's will. Right? What's the answer? The answer is very simple. They had to do what they had to do. Yaakov Avinu had to scream like he screamed. It's not a contradiction. Both have to be. And it comes times, by the way, that you know people have to do certain things. You have to get yelled at for doing it. But you have to do it anyway. Not real. They were not. They weren't. They didn't mean it.
It was like done just like to get their daughters.
Right, and to get the money and the daughters and everything.
By Torah law, the Jewish kid is, God forbid, allowed capital punishment at the age of 13, right?
Huh?
If a Jewish kid commits a crime, he can get capital punishment at the age of 13.
Yeah.
Adult,
or even as no, according to the other opinion, at 7, if a kid understands that you're not allowed to steal and he steals, he would get capital punishment.
Yoni, that's not true today. I have to take this.
We know that. We're talking about Torah law.
What about 20?
It's only for Jews.
I'm sorry. Hey, I didn't know you were
for non-Jews, it was any age that they understand.
Right.
Right
or law. Correct. According to that opinion. According to the other opinion, it's 13. The Das Kerim Valatesis, I mean, going back to the, not to this, to this concept, but to the thing before, they said, why did they wait until the third day? Why didn't they do it right away? So it says, it took them 3 days to circumcise the whole city. So they could, as he said, very simple. It took them 3 days to circumcise the city, so they waited on the third day. When everybody was circumcised, that's when they killed the city.
But they still took the law into their hands.
That's right. But sometimes you have to. Pinchas did the same thing. But the Torah says, when the Torah says you have to take the law into your own hands, that's when you do it. No, the Torah.
I mean, but Pinchas, we said Pinchas
became an angel. Because that's what Torah said. But they understood the halacha that the people in the city were supposed to get killed. We discussed that before you came. That they were supposed to get killed because they did all the Avedis that they did. Okay, Levi was 13 at the time, and he calls a man, okay, that's what he says over here also. Confident because the Shechemites were in pain. There's another reason why they were, what the confidence of the Yaakov's Shimon and Levi were. They were sure that other nations are not going to chase them. Why? What were they confident that other nations are not going to chase them? No, because if they were circumcised, they said that you guys are part of the Jews already. Why should we stick up for you guys? So that's what they were certain about. That's what the Klei Yakov says. What?
Haven't they known
what they did? People know. I mean, they're in the fax machines, newspapers. I don't think it says. Why?
Because, you know, he, you know, circumcised himself 3 days before all the other people.
Right.
So he would have been healthy. He was the king, which means he probably was a good fighter, per se. You know, and here you have these two 13, 14-year-old boys coming in. Just curious.
The Medrash says that although Yaakov disapproved of his son's actions, nevertheless, he recognized his responsibility to protect them. Yaakov took a sword, stood next to the entrance of Shechem, and said, whoever starts up on my kid, I'll kill them. I mean, so you see, again, the brothers had to do what they had to do. Yaakov had to do what he had to do, and it worked out.
Was the Dina was there for 3 days?
Dina was there for more than 3 days. Dina was there from the time they raped her, and then the Yesh came to speak to them, and as long as it took, a minimum of 3 days.
She
ended up marrying her brother, Shimon. And there's another question, how was she allowed to? There's an answer to that. When we get there, we'll learn how she was allowed to marry him.
What happened to my response of my comment?
About Israel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
What was it? What
do you bring? No, they should go to...
The only thing I would say...
Every Jew at 22.
The only thing that they had right to do...
The Rebbe spoke the whole time that she used force. I mean, what's the... Huh?
The Gurari in town, since they were attacked with aggression, so they had every right to attack in the town.
That's the.
But. That's the one that hurts the most. It makes sense, even though I did it 3 days earlier, Shem. So it doesn't mean I was any stronger.
No, but the Mefarshim learned that from the time. When Shechem and Chamer, I don't remember if I said it, but the Mefarshim say that when Chamer and Shechem went to the people's city to speak to them, Shechem was already healed from the bris. So it also took a few... How could he go with a bris, run out straight to talk to the people from the city?
Shechem was strong, how he didn't...
So obviously, Shechem had to heal. One guy, Shechem, it said they're going to kill Shechem also. But Chamer and Shechem, they killed also. They killed everybody.
Do you think if his sister was home, they would do such a thing?
They had no reason to do it if the sister was home. If Dina was home, what should they go stam kill people? You're talking about tzaddikim over here. What do you think, Yaakov's kids are a bunch of gangsters? I mean, you're talking about holy people. They were zealous people, Shimon and Levi. But there was zealousness of Kedusha. And sometimes you need that.
But they were also going to kill their brothers.
But they... had a halachic reason that Yosef should get killed. He was a snitcher. What, do you think for a moment... We're not talking about us. We're talking about the Shvatim Shifte Yutke, the Shvatim of God. Yeah? Each one is holier than the next. What do you think? These guys are cruel people want to kill a brother. They had a halachic ruling that Yosef should get killed because he was a snitcher. Shimon and Levi halachically ruled that the city of Shechem had to get killed.
Did you call Yosef?
A snitcher. He used to snitch bad to the father against the brothers. They had a bet, and so here they're all the brothers. The brothers. Why not? No, to weaken them. So what Shimon, but they were not against it. If the brothers were against it, why didn't they stop Shimon and Levi from doing it? Yehuda was stronger. Yehuda was stronger, right? If Yehuda was against it, why didn't he stop him?
It's even written that Shimon did it by himself, and he didn't speak each with other, not Shimon with Levi. This is one goes separate and second goes separate, yeah?
It's it's not mashma like that from the Pasuk, because it says ish, singular, that they took, maybe.
But this is without Beit HaDin.
Why?
Everyone decided to do this, and where is the
Beit HaDin? They ruled it, but they had the Beit HaDin of the brothers, and they ruled that they deserve to be that.
What's the problem?
Because
it's very, it's, you can't understand a brother can kill another brother because he's next to his family.
But they did that in the by Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, by the eagle. Did Moshe Rabbeinu say kill your brothers? He told Levi, take your swords and start killing your brothers. So Rashi says it wasn't whole brothers because none of Levi sinned, but it was half-brothers. The tribe of Levi was going around killing their half-brothers for sinning in the eagle. Why? Because that's what God said. And if God says, that's what you do. What's the... If Allah says, this is what you do, this is what you do. Why isn't it?
Because
you want to make something complicated. I'll say, they're circumcised, we have to be circumcised. So he says, and as Radak explains, what do we lose by it? We can only get wealthy from it. That's a big deal. You know, and that's where he continues the next pasuk. Mikneihem, their cat, their livestock, the kinyonim, their possessions, the chol behemtim, and all their animals. Halelano heim, they're going to be ours. You know, in other words, what did he say? This also shows how evil they were. He says, you know what? Listen, let's come do business with them. They're very wealthy. You know what happens after a while? We'll take away all their money from them. You know, everything, like he says, halelano heim, will become us, become ours. Let's let them here, let's get them involved, you know, and then we'll take a partner in the business, take all his money, then you throw him out. That's what he's saying over here to them. Everything, their cattle, their livestock, their animals, it's all ours. And that's why the Medrash says that you see from here that the bris that Shechem in the city of Shechem did was not for God. They did it because they wanted to get rich. Right? So therefore, as we see, not only didn't they get rich, but they all died from it. Because their intent of their conversion, so to speak, was not a real intent. It was for money. And if somebody converts for money, or for marriage, or for anything else, it's invalid. It's not valid. That's why, like we learned, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, when Jews were very, very wealthy, the official policy was they did not accept any converts. Why? Because people were converting for the wrong purposes. And here by Shechem, we see it clearly in their speech. What did they say? Listen, we'll do business with them, we can intermarry with them, they're very wealthy, all the cattle is going to end up in us. Do me a favor, just circumcise yourself and everything's done.